looking at Christian meanings. I hope we are ready to receive the word. Amen. Right? Matthew's gospel is our text. Our Father, we're grateful for this morning. We ask and receive revelation of your word in the name of your Son Jesus. We ask that you fill our hearts with the light of your word, intelligence around the gift of our meeting and coming together, taking advantage of that blessedness of your Spirit that dwells amongst us, and the diversities of the workings, the manifestation, and the gifts of the Spirit. We ask, O Lord, that we are made wiser. We are made much more to be aware of that which is ours in Christ Jesus. We are also taught of your word and of your Spirit to be more intelligent in how we use, in how we participate, in how we walk with your Spirit in our gatherings, even as a welcome community. We ask this morning to be useful, preparing towards the same. Receive this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. Matthew's gospel is our text. He says, go ye into all the world. Matthew 28. Excuse me. In Matthew's gospel 28, what do we have there? Verse 18. And Jesus came to speak unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I hope everyone is with their Bibles and their writing materials. Hallelujah. So we are looking at Christian meetings. And one of the things that we have said, you know, like we started out establishing where God is or where he walks. And we said a Christian, you know, who is also called a disciple. When you hear the word Christian, it's a word that describes the disciple. A Christian ought to be a disciple. It is a disciple of Jesus that we call a Christian. Are we together? Someone who is not being discipled should not be called a Christian. You know, but I understand today, you know, we call people Christians, and then just because we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and that's fine. Are we together? That's fine. I mean, you see someone who goes to church, you see someone who attends the church, and you say, oh, the person is a Christian. Sometimes we even use that word Christian to describe people who don't even have a church, which is very funny. I mean, the word Christian is used to describe those who belong to churches. Belong to the churches. Belongs to the church. That means the person can say, you know, this is my church. It's like you say, someone says, oh, I'm a student. You say, what kind of student are you? Then the fellow says, I'm an undergraduate. You're talking to someone, and then the fellow says, I'm an undergraduate student. Then you ask, what institution? Then the person is not in any university. That's going to be very funny. Are we together? The fellow is not in any university. And then you claim that you are an undergraduate student. That's not true. So when we use the word Christian, the people we are referring to ought to, expected to, be in the churches. Someone say, be in the church. And be in the church, they ought to be discipled. And I said some days ago, I mean, one of our sessions, we gave to me, or you guys, excuse me, that gave to me synonyms. So we said, what other word describes a disciple? And we had a lot of people respond this and that and that. And one of the things that stood out there is that a disciple is an adherent. I talk about that in the afternoon session on Friday at Carmington. Yeah, Saturday rather. Saturday afternoon session. So, because we're looking at ecclesiology and so pneumatology that afternoon. Now, a disciple is an adherent. An adherent. Are we together? An adherent. And that's a disciple. Praise the Lord. An adherent. Someone who sticks with something. Someone who sticks with something. Praise the Lord. To stick with something. That's an adherent. That means I don't have two options. I'm committed to this. I'm committed to it. So a disciple is committed. Committed to Jesus, obviously. And in our commitment to Jesus, we are committed to the things of Jesus, like the church. We are committed. By the time you look at John's gospel, Jesus, having been raised from the dead, spoke to Peter. And then he said to him three times, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And then Peter said, yes. He says, I love you, Jesus. You know, the same way we sing today. I love you more than anything, you know. We have those songs that we sing, we sing our affection and our devotion for Jesus. Praise God. How many of us love Jesus here? You love Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So we sing of our devotion to Him. Because when you love something, you are devoted to it. That's love. You're devoted. You're devoted. Are we together? You're devoted. That's love. So we sing of our love and our affection, our devotion. I'll use another word, our commitment to Jesus. But look at what Jesus told Peter. When Peter says, Lord, he says, I love you, Jesus said, feed my sheep. So for Peter, a proof of his love for Jesus is how he treats Jesus' church. So you cannot love God more than the way you treat His church. You cannot be. You can't. You can love God more. Praise God forevermore. I said praise God forevermore. You cannot love God more. You can't. You can't love God more. See, there is no greater way to show that you love God than the way you treat His assembly. I know we've said than the way you treat a fellow man. That's true. But we're talking about church. Because He says, don't forget our text. It is where two or three people are gathered together in my name. Matthew 18:15. It says, there I am, verse 20 now, in the midst of them. There I am in the midst of them. Are we together? So Jesus is in His church. So He tells Peter, He says, lovest thou me? And then Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he says, feed. Glory to God. Feed my lamb. Feed the church. A pastor that loves Jesus will feed the church. To feed the church. And the same thing goes with every other person. I mean non-pastors in church. It's commitment. Glory to God forevermore. So we're talking about meetings. And don't forget, we also said that by instructing these men to go and make disciples, Jesus is already instructing meetings. The advent, well, not advent really, but you know, the practice, the custom of meetings. So Christianity has a custom of meetings. What we call services, church services. And the meetings, like I said, holds in places. And you have to be there. And in being there, it is to what? Can you give it back to me? It is to what? To participate. Thank you. A place so I can be there. And I'm there in order to what? To participate. I'll talk about participation on Thursday. Hallelujah. So it is where two or three are gathered. I am there in the midst of them. So we said meetings are a tool of God, but why does God use meetings? Again, in looking at meetings, look at Luke's gospel. We closed on that last Thursday. In Luke's gospel 24, Luke's gospel chapter 24, and then in verse 44, it is, and he said unto him, right? No, he says unto who? Them. He said unto them. You know, it's going to be interesting that we just take a study across the four Gospels, and what we are looking out for were the things Jesus told individuals and the things Jesus told groups. And then we now do a study. Why does he not say what he said to the individual, to the group? Or the things he said to the group, why does he not say to individuals? And you're going to see a clear difference. It's going to make a logical, theological sense. Logical theology. Are we together? Sense. That he couldn't have told those things to a group of people. You know, sometimes, and I've faced that a couple of times. I mean, sometimes in church, sometimes I address our leaders, or some other times non-church activities like associations and all that. Sometimes you have a piece of information and you don't want to go through the stress. You know, today we have the luxury of WhatsApp groups, you know, and then sometimes, you know, groups, you have a number of people who are associated around, you know, certain things, and then we are like, let us just form a group so that we can share the information we have on the what? On the group. So let's say a family now. You have a family, and then in the family you have different uncles, sisters, in-laws, aunties. The whole extended family has a WhatsApp group. So, because you don't want to go through the stress of having to reach one person at a time. Stressful. Let me just put the information. So, let's create a group so that we can address ourselves. You know, you put those informations there and everybody can see and respond. Because you don't want to go through the stress of telling people individually. Are we together? Now that's completely different from the reasons why we have meetings. We have meetings not because we don't want to be telling people things individually. You know, there's a way you can see Christianity that way. That means there is a general information, and then let everybody just gather so that we can give them that information. Because it is going to be stressful trying to communicate the same information to each person individually at different times, in different places, maybe in different manners. Oh, why the stress? Let's just gather multitudes so we can give them the information. That is not the reason for Christian meetings. That's not the reason. Now, does it help us to really communicate those informations in the gathering? Yes. But you see, the physical coming together itself is necessary. It is necessary that we come together in Christianity. So, the coming together is not because we don't want to stress. It's when you are thinking that way that someone can be saying, I understand. It's because you don't want to stress. You know, that's why, you know, you want me to be in the gathering. Don't worry. What you are telling them in the gathering, I will get it at home. Don't worry, you don't have to stress. I will get the information. No. I will listen to the audio. No. You're missing it. It is not a broadcast that we are doing in the service. We are not doing a broadcast. Are we together? In the meeting, your personal presence, not say my personal presence. That means you. I mean somebody with your name and surname. Now I know today there are different people with the same name and surname. Remember the first time I started encountering those kind of things? I was like, how? In my second school days, 2006, 2007. How? This person has the same surname, but the initials are actually different. But if it's somebody with your, okay, what's personal to all of us? DNA. Someone with your DNA. God wants your DNA in the service. And if we say your face, you say, I have an identical face. God wants your own heart. Someone say, my heart. That's it. God wants your heart in the service. Your own heart. Because we said a couple of times that nobody can hear the things of God for you like you would. Nobody can. Nobody can hear those things like you would. And again, you're not attentive. There are a lot of personal meetings in the Bible. The angel came and met Zacharias alone. The angel came and met Mary alone. 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 The angel came, he met Joshua alone. Moses alone. So there is the personal meeting, encounter. But we must always understand, as we read through the scriptures, that those meetings was not the way God wants to do things. God is a God of the assembly. So oftentimes, you observe, just with that observation, those personal meetings always led to corporate gatherings. Or those personal encounters always led to corporate meetings. So whatever happens in your private moment of prayer, study of the word, must get you into the service. Must get you into the meeting. Do you get it? So in Luke 24, look at something there. He says in 44, he spake unto them. He said unto them. And then when you read the words in red, he says, these are the things, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. So much emphasis on gathering. I have told you this thing before. In other words, you can read verse 44 as, this was the things we said in our meetings. You can read verse 44 that way. These are the things we said in our meetings. In our meetings. So this is a meeting referring to a meeting. And Jesus didn't say, these are the things I told, and he mentioned somebody. No. He said, these are the things I told you.
He was in a meeting, and he was referring to the things he said to them in meetings.
Are we together? Are we together?
He says that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Those were teachings. Then he opened here their understanding. He opened here their understanding. It is important to note that this revelation, in verse 45, the revelation. Now, I told you everybody, this was the time where they got born again. This was the period where they got born again. In verse 45. He says, he opened here their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, to show you that people get saved in meetings.
Are we together? Are we together?
Now, if you have been following my teachings for a while, you will know we have different meetings in the church. We have teachings on that. And then we have evangelistic meetings. So it's important to note that God's method of getting people saved, are we together, is through meetings. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. You observe that, you see, even naturally, I know you have, you have science today. Are we together? You have science today, and science will tell you, one of these medical procedures, you have IVF, right? You have this IVF now, and then you go to the hospital, and then they take cells, and then they talk to the woman, and then they put that together, and then put it inside. Are we together? That's IVF. Now, but look at this, in the beginning. Because don't forget, we mustn't lose that in the beginning. In the beginning, God's plan is that, you see, in Genesis chapter 4, he says, and Adam knew his wife. Did you see that? And Adam knew his wife, and she bare him a child, to show you that is how conception works, that a man will meet a woman in the natural. And that shows you how God functions in the supernatural, that a meeting. Are we together? That a meeting, conception, because that natural conception of the child is also now used to describe, though in a different way, what we call the new birth. There's something called new birth because there's a birth. So Jesus will use that natural birth in John chapter 3. Then he began to say, that which is blood of the flesh is flesh. And I told you, the flesh there does not refer to sin. It's just about humanity. What comes out of humanity is humanity. Then there's that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That is, that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So spiritual birth is by the Holy Ghost, just like natural birth is by human biology. That's what John chapter 3 is saying. Verse 5 and 6. That which is born of the flesh is fleshly, and that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So there is a birth. So Bible writers describe another birth. Being born again. Being born again. Because there is a birth. There is a birth. In John 1. He says, I haven't read verse 11 and verse 12. In verse 13, he says, not born of man, not born of the will of man, not born of flesh, not born of blood. That is, this birth is not by DNA. He says, but born of God. Because there's a birth. So there's a reference point. So they use the natural birth as a parable of the spiritual. So you have newness. As newborn babes. Are we together? So every time they are talking about the supernatural, there's a reference point in the natural. So the natural sounds like a parable for the supernatural. The parable. And that's what Moses did all of Genesis. The natural birth will serve as a parable for the supernatural. A parable. So it shows you that men get saved through meetings. Are we together, church?
There is something on my mind I'll talk about it some other time for the sake of properly communicating it. It's about revivals. You know, sometimes we read materials, we come across materials on revivals where a lot of supernatural activities. Some even said, there was a particular incident like that, that Jesus had gone into a particular location. I mean, it was a Muslim region where missionaries were not allowed to preach. And then Jesus had appeared. I'm talking about a true life event. Jesus had appeared to somebody in one of those communities. And that appearance of Jesus now led to salvation of thousands. That was after they had killed a lot of missionaries. Now, because the fellow Jesus appeared to was the high priest. He had several tens of kings under his control. So the missionaries will go into the community, they will kill them. Will go into the community, they will kill them. So they were praying. Then Jesus appeared not to the kings that gave the order to kill the missionaries. I mean, they had killed tons of missionaries. Jesus now appeared to the high priest, or the chief priest rather, who had all the kings in his grasp. So that one got saved. So, you know, sometimes you are reading those materials and in your mind you're now thinking, why, we want this. And that's good if we want it. Are we together? Or else, I mean, we want it. If we need not be beautiful that anytime we meet someone that the person is forming big boy, Jesus just appears to him. Jesus appears to him, hey, who are you? He says, collect his eyes. Send it back to you. You gave him his eyes back. I believe the gospel. Talking in tongues. Are we together? Alright. So, but sometimes when we are reading those kind of happenings, our heart is like, oh, we want this. And in case not taken, we can think back into, if this is possible, then why not us choose that route? That appearing to that high priest or chief priest is not Jesus' way of spreading the gospel. It's not his way. So it is an event that was necessitated because of abnormality. Did you get it? That is not the method. And one thing about God is that God can supply his intervention at a particular time. He wants you to get back to the what? To the method. Some Christians are not so smart in this area. You know, sometimes we receive miracles from God. We now think that is the way it will always be. No! I remember I was listening to a preacher, it's been about 15 years now, I was listening to Andrew Womack some 15 years ago. And then, Andrew Womack had preached a message that he didn't sit well with me. That was a very long time ago, I listened to it. He didn't sit well with me. Andrew Womack had said that God's plan, I'm not sure how he put it now, I think he said that God's plan is not a miracle, but a blessing. Now, there's a way he said, now when preachers say some things, don't rush and start saying yes or no. Find out what he's saying. That's what shows you are smart. Alright. So, he said something and then he didn't speak to where he explained rather. I mean, it was a preaching. So, the entire track didn't sit well with me. But later on, I understood that, you know, and the woman had said that God's plan is for you to walk in a material blessing. That God's method is not miracles. Now let me explain that so you don't miss what I'm saying. Does God work miracles? Yes. Is he willing to always work it? Yes. Are we together? But look at this. The question is,
Why did you need a miracle? If you observe critically, you needed a miracle because you were stranded. Because that's what miracles come to resolve. Miracles resolve being stranded. Being stranded could be health. Are we together? For example, you having malaria and there is anti-malaria drugs. See, you most likely not receive a healing miracle because there's drugs. Does God heal you? Yes. But look at it, you have drugs. Now, what happens in a condition where you are ill and medical science could not help? You need miracle. Did you see that? So, you need a miracle because miracles are supernatural interventions. And those supernatural interventions, majorly, is to impose God's power on nature. That means miracles are needed when nature is failing. Are we together? When nature is failing, you have issues with the eyes is failing. Okay, but there is drugs. Okay, so you've taken the drugs, but the drugs are probably giving you a serious side effect, and the drug is not healing you. It's just probably helping. That means medical science is failing. When it comes to restoring the perfect function of your eyes, you need healing. That's where miracle comes in. So miracles don't make us better. It takes away that being stranded, so you can have a path. The same thing with material miracles. Materials. Miracles of provision. Money. It's because you are the fix. If you have an uncle that you can call, that's not a miracle. You call the person. Are we together? You have another sibling that can say, you call the person. You don't say, I will never call anybody. God will meet all my needs. See, God meeting your need is that person. After you have prayed for 6 hours, you now pick your phone and what? Call him. Do you get what I'm saying? But imagine you call the person and for one reason or the other, he didn't still come forth. Then that natural flow has failed. Then you need what? A miracle. How many of you get what I'm saying? Let me see your hand. Then you need a miracle. Because sometimes, look at me, sometimes, it's very slimy. It's very subtle. You might not know why a miracle is not before. You might not know. Maybe because you don't need it. There's something else that should make the supply available. Sometimes because of pride, you have decided not to take that out. Some people are too proud to ask a friend for help. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. A very devilish statement. I don't need anybody in my life. Very devilish thing to say. You need people. So that's miracles. Do you get what I'm saying? Should I continue what I'm saying? So look at that. So, and the woman said, now, I have the question. I said, why did you need a miracle? For example, financial miracle. You needed a financial miracle because you got to a point where you were at a fix. Right? So, and the woman was saying that God's plan for you is not to always work miracles. God's plan for you is for you to have a consistent, sustained flow. So that you will not need a what? A miracle. That means that God does not want you to always get to a place where you hit the wall and waiting. God wants you to have consistent. Are we together? That's what the woman was saying. So rather than always needing a miracle of healing, God wants me to always walk in health. Did you see that? Now, you agree with me that in order to have that sustained flow, there's a lot of responsibility for me. For example, when it comes to money, that means I need to manage money well. Good. So as the woman was saying that, he was saying that God's plan for you is to walk in abundance. And so therefore, there is a whole lot of rest, because see, miracle puts all the responsibility on God. But that walking consistency in always having puts a lot of responsibility on you. For example, in bodily healing, it means I will eat the right things. I will not eat junk. I won't feed my body with sugar. Right? Right? I will eat early. Maybe I'll sleep early. Maybe I prefer to cook than to just take fast foods. So, he puts a whole lot of responsibility on you, but that is God's plan. For you to not always be at the point where you are cornered. And you observe that you can't help people that way when you always need a miracle. When you always need a miracle, you can't really be of blessing as God wants you to. That's why you observe that. When you are at that point of needing a miracle, it takes somebody who has gone into the point of always having to supply you, that now becomes your own miracle. So the other person who has mastered how to have a consistent flow through discipline becomes God's answer to the one who is always in the miracle. The person becomes God's answer. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying this morning? The person that through discipline and hard work has been able to keep that consistent flow becomes the miracle. So God wants you to be in that position, not the one always needing miracle every now and then. So is miracles real? Yes. Does God want to work miracles? Yes. How often? All the time. Is that his plan for you? He will always come through because he is God, and because faith in him must not fail. When faith in God fails, God's character has failed. So he honors faith. But that is not his plan. His plan is for you, through wisdom, common sense, knowledge, and discipline, to sustain a flow. Are we together? So look at that. Now, what did I say that get us into what the woman said? What was I saying? Yeah, thank you. So Jesus appearing to that chief priest is not God. So definitely, why did that miracle of an encounter happen? Because God's way of doing God's original plan is being hindered. So you have to break something open. You have to go out of the normal thing. But what is God's normal thing? Men will receive the gospel through other men. Did you get it? So sometimes we come across those notes on revival, teachings or books, documentaries on revival, and we are like, yeah. In fact, let me ask a question. Why did we even need revival if it's not that something has gone wrong? Did you get it? We needed revival because something has what? Gone wrong. So, does that mean revival is not God's plan? No. It is God's plan. It is God's plan to get abnormalcy back to what? Normalcy. But there is normalcy, which is what? Preaching the gospel. Normalcy is men receiving the gospel through other what? Men. That's normalcy. That's normal. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So look at this. What happens when on Saturday morning or sometimes in the week a brother in church, a sister in church goes out of the natural activities of his day and starts a conversation with people to the end that they receive the gospel? That is the plan of God. That is what it means to walk with God. That's what it means to walk with God. That's what it means to walk with God. That's walking with God. You initiate evangelism. You don't wait for a vision. You don't wait for a dream. You go on evangelism as an act of your own. Not an instruction from church. Not as an act of your own, you go on evangelism. That is God's normalcy. I think Watchman Nee that wrote on normal Christian life. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Told us to read that some time ago. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. That all these things must be fulfilled by reading the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened his their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So salvation is received in meetings. Is it clear? Meetings. So I can show you on and on and on and on and on that God works through men. And said unto them, thus it is written, that's what done. And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, what? The third day. Now, is this it is written? Right? I need responses. It says it is written, right? Now, does it look like it's a prophecy? Does it look like it's a prophecy which is going to be fulfilled? Huh? Did you notice that in the fulfillment of these prophecies, men were involved? Men were involved. Men were involved. To suffer. Did you notice that in the suffering, men were involved? Wait, if men were not on the earth, would Christ suffer? In the suffering, men were involved. Are we together? Now, where I'm going is 47 to 50. And that repentance and remission should be preached in his name among all nations. Will this be preached by men? Beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye where? Where? Hallelujah. Tarry ye in the city called Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 50, everyone, to 53. Once you go, let them as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. So were they in their rooms or in the temple? Him, I, or they? They in the temple. Meetings. Someone say meetings. So he says to stay at Jerusalem. Stay at Jerusalem. And then we saw they followed the instruction. So we said a place of meeting is necessary. God uses places. They returned to Jerusalem. And they went to hold the meetings as they were instructed. Are we together? As they were instructed, they returned to Jerusalem. Look at Acts 1. Don't worry, I'll stop preaching at 1 or 2. Acts 1. When you say, hmm? You guys say, hmm? Acts 1. Are we there? Look at verse 1. Let's read together. Once you go. Are we reading Luke 24 from Acts 1? Huh? Thank you. Read on. Read on. Okay. Read on. So in verse 12, they return to where? Jerusalem. Are we together? Was that the instruction they were given? Yes. Okay. So instructions, be in the place of meeting. You said that. They return to Jerusalem. By Acts 2. Now obviously, if you read verse 15, they continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about what? So did they take attendance? Did they take attendance? Did they take attendance? Notice they say the number where. It says the names. So, is it okay that we take attendance in church services? Obviously. Are we together? All right. So, it is the name. So we are 120 of them. Now, look at this. And I said that the day of Pentecost, so they continue with one accord, according to that text, they continue with one accord. It says, in prayer and in supplication. Are we together? Up into the day of Pentecost, obviously. Because by the time you now read Acts chapter 2, your eyes there, please. Acts 2 is when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So these guys were there till Acts 2:1. This was 10 days, like I told you. They were all with one accord in what? One place. Very simple. So you see, Acts 2 was repeating Acts 1:15. I hope you get it. You don't get it if you don't look into the text. Don't say yes. Look into the text. Acts 2 verse 1 was a repetition of Acts 1:15. That means the moment he mentioned Acts 1:15, are we together? Are we together? The moment he mentioned Acts 1:15, they have your attention. Because, see, that's the way I read, and you must read that way too. So the moment he mentioned Acts 1:15, the next thing Luke wanted to mention was not Acts 1:16. The next thing they wanted to mention after Acts 1:15 was Acts 2:1. But he had to digress. He digressed from Acts 1:16 down to the end of chapter 1. That's why he said, when he did all that, was God. So he simply continued. So he traced his thoughts back. Are we together? So the focus was to describe the day of Pentecost. That was it. But he had to give a background. So the Acts 1 was the background of Acts 2. Acts 1, a background. So I told you that the event of the day of the Pentecost was location based.
Okay.
Was location inspired. Does that mean that they couldn't have received the Holy Ghost elsewhere? No. They can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. Are we together? But look at me. If they were not at Jerusalem at that day, are we together? They will not have received the Holy Ghost. They will not have received. They would have received. Don't forget that receive the Holy Ghost in that text was not the Holy Spirit coming into them. It was not on the day of Pentecost that they received the Holy Spirit into them. Our children's class, they know that. What happened on the day of Pentecost was utterances, tongues. So receive the Holy Ghost, baptize with the Holy Ghost, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost is Luke's language of describing utterances, not indwelling of the Spirit. They received the indwelling because Jesus speaks, because Jesus was lifted. Are we together? The Holy Ghost, a man is not saved, then the Holy Ghost now comes later. No. The Holy Ghost comes into the heart of a man at the split second. If I, there's something that is faster than split second, that's how it happens. Are we together, church? If there's something faster than split second, that's how it happens. Are we together, church? Are we together? The moment a man exercises faith in the gospel, the Spirit of God dwells in his heart. But that man might not be full of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So the being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues is what happened on the day of the Pentecost. That was what happened there. It wasn't that it was that day that the Holy Ghost came into them. Mm-mm. It was that day that they were full of the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Are we together? Are we together? And that's why I won't talk about that now, or I won't even discuss around that soon. But you observe something. Should I even mention it or not? Let me just mention it. You observe that. Look at this. It took them 10 days to be full of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? It took them how long? 10 days of what? Of what? Prayer and what? Supplication. Now, if you look into Acts 1 there, you observe that they also read the scriptures. Isn't it? You just said Acts 1. They also did what? Read the scriptures. That is, they were studying. Look at that. Look at Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible, ma? You have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Okay, let's use it. Acts 1. Are you there? Now look at something. Look at verse 15. in verse 14, these all continue with what? One accord in prayer and supplication. So can you see the kind of meeting it was? How many people? Are we up to 120 here this morning? But how many people? 120. So look at this. 120 people in their rooms, right? In their rooms. They are not answering. Because they are not following what I say. Was it in their rooms? No. Was it in their rooms? They were what? In the same room. In the temple. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine. So there are 120 people. I need the 120 students. If the 120 students, they are people that did not really have a bukata. That's one of the most stupid things I've heard. That people are having lengthy prayer meetings because they don't yet have life issues. That's very stupid thing to say. Very stupid. I'll say it again. It's a very stupid thing to say. Very stupid. That the reason why people are holding meetings and they are praying. They say, oh, let us go and do 12 hours prayer. Let's do 24 hours. This guy needs 10 days. As though that was all. Notice that how many days meeting preceded 10 days? 40. So these guys were camping for how many days? 50 days. Are you listening to me? So you can see. Now, notice that they didn't do 40 days. Then they went away. After all of them were done writing their exams. It now came for another 10 days. Then after the 10 days, one of the other, I'm tired. Can't we just continue this meeting later? Then they went away again, go to play Ludo, play chess, play this, eat, drink, and then gather again. No. See, the days were unbroken. 40 days, then 10 days. Are we together? Are you following me? 40 days, then what? 10 days, connected. Then the day of Pentecost. One accord. And Luke was careful. Luke was careful. He used that statement, one accord, so you don't miss it. In Acts 1:10, he now used that same one accord 10 days later. So none of them said, I'm tired, I'm going. See, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. The kingdom of God suffered what? And the what? The violent taking by force. Look at the itinerary that led to the day of Pentecost. Therein is the answer. Why are we not seeing the move of God again? Can you do it? Keep quiet and go and sit. Are you doing it? Now, Christian today, we are teaching 2 hours, very tired. You can never see the move of God. I think you can't see it. You can't. You can't. You cannot see it. You can't see it. In your life, you cannot see it. God does not cast his spears before swine. You can't see it. Say, why don't you see the move of God? Why is the community this? Why is there cultism? Why is there prostitution? Why is there this? Why is there this? Can we gather a 120 and sustain prayer in one accord long enough till there's a boom, a burst out of water of the Spirit of God? When you can do that, then you can take your city like this. Are we together? So look at this. If it is 2 days we do, we will see the move of spirit for the 2 days. Did you get it? Did you get it? If it's 5 days to do, we see the move of spirit for the... Are we together? Imagine we have in Christ discipleship camp meeting 40 days. You will light it only like this and sit here by 40 days. We are going to do it, don't worry. Might not call it in Christ discipleship camp meeting. We have 40 days. 40 days of Holy Ghost and power. I didn't think I would lock you up for 40 days. You just say, hey, thank God he said it. Who knows, maybe that is plan after committing. No. Are we together? But I'm just showing you the, look at this. I'm showing you the labor. The labor at it. I'm showing you what some people can do because they want the move of God. And God honors their faith. He shows up big on their behalf. So were they praying? Now, all what I said now was not why we went into the text. Sorry. This is why we went into the text. We now see verse 16. So look at verse 15. Peter did what? Got up. Okay. Peter got up in the midst of the disciples. Okay. He now said, men and what? Brethren. This scripture must what? Needs have been fulfilled. That's just old English, okay? This scripture must needs have been fulfilled. So, in other words, look at this. Peter opens the scriptures. Pay attention. What does he do? He says, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of what? David spake before concerning Judas. Now, which was the guide to them that took Jesus. How many of you know that he had already given an interpretation to the text? Huh? Do you agree that he had already given interpretation to the text? Because David never spoke about Judas. Did you see Judas in the book of David, in Psalms? No. So, but for him to say David by the Holy Ghost, that is David by revelation, through prophecy, spoke about Judas, that means he has given an interpretation to the text. And through interpretation, he has given an application to it, to the text. So it shows you that in those meetings also, were they doing Bible study? So, a physical meeting of prayer and the word birthed the day of the Pentecost. If that is far-fetched, the 40 days before that particular day started, was it teaching? So you see, prayer and the word birthed the move of the Spirit. Prayer and the word of God. Prayer and the word of God will birth the move of the Holy Ghost. So let me use my notes now, this morning. Trying to see where I can start from in my notes. Okay. This is what I was in Acts for. So Jesus instructed a place, Jerusalem. Notice also that in Acts 1:8, in other words, you shall be witnesses of me In what? Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if he says, witness on me both in Jerusalem. Look at me, everybody. He says, both in Jerusalem, right? That means he's going to mention one more place. If he says both in Jerusalem, that means he wants to couple Jerusalem with one more place. But we actually see a mention of four regions. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. No, it is two. Jerusalem and Judea, Jews, Samaria and other nations, Gentiles. Both. Both. So you shall be witnesses unto me, both in what? The first one is what? Jerusalem and Judea, which were Jewish regions. Then the second is what? Samaria and the what? Other non-Jewish nations, uttermost parts of the earth. Notice that in the preaching of the gospel, they follow that pattern too. The apostles follow that pattern. In Acts 1, it was Jerusalem. Acts 2, Jerusalem. Acts 3, you were in Jerusalem. And then Judea. By Acts 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Samaria. Then after that, now see places like Galatia, are we together? Cappadocia, are we together? Galatia, you now have Ephesus, Philippi, uttermost parts of the earth. So it shows you something, that God works with geography. So they knew that Jesus wasn't missing words when he gave them location. So they stuck with it. They stuck with it. Jerusalem, Judea. They stuck with it. From Acts 1, 8, Acts 2, verse 9 and 14, Jerusalem and Judea. Jerusalem and Judea. By Acts 9, 31, Jerusalem and Judea. Acts 8, 1, Samaria. Acts 8, 9, Samaria. 14, Samaria. So, we said before, I'll say again, that nothing stopped God from giving people individually informations, gifts and giftings. But look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Man is the image of what? Of God. Man is what? Man is what? The image of God. What God has to do, he will do it through who? He will do it through man. That's it. Man is the image of God. Mankind. So when God has things to say, who will say it for him? Huh? Who will say it for him? Who will say it for him? What if he has things to say to men? Or to a man, who will say it for him? 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 If he has something to say to a man, who will say it for him? The supernatural power of God, supernatural power of God, supernatural power of God, power of God. God wants to make his supernatural power to work in the life of a man. Who will minister it for him. Man.
So, a physical meeting. Man. Man is his image. That's why I wonder why some people believe in material mediums than human mediums. If I eat the Holy Communion, I'll be healed. If I eat the Holy Communion, I'll be healed. If I eat the Holy Communion, I'll be healed. If I eat the Holy Communion and there's sickness in my body, I'll be healed. Then the Bible says, they shall lay hands on them, on the sick, and shall recover. Interestingly, look at it. The Bible does not say, when you take the Holy Communion, you shall be what? You shall be healed. Now look at it. Look at it. Do people really get healed when they believe in such things? Do they really get healed? Yes. Are you listening to me? When people have faith and say, oh, in that service, as I give Holy Communion, I'll take it, I'll be healed. I'll be healed of sicknesses. Does healings usually happen? There are healings that happen. Healings take place. But does it not strike a chord in you that they want the Bible? So am I saying that it is unbiblical when people get healed when they take Holy Communion in service? I'm not saying it's unbiblical. Very especially the way the healing power works. The healing power is very potent in the way it works, unlike other gifts of spirit. But does it not strike a chord in you that the one that the Bible now was conscious to state that you are going to get healed through that method is the one you believe less? He says they will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. You believe that one less than the one the Bible never said? You believe that more? Because we have a lot of Christians who practice idol worship. A lot of Christians. The brothers that don't worship. A lot. There are some Christians that God saved from an idol worshiping background. They have not been completely rid of the idol worship mentality. In Bible theology, we call it syncretism. Syncretism is when you mesh two religions. You believe that there's an intervention for you in two different religions. God looks at that and God frowns at it. The entire Old Testament, one of the things that killed Israel was the sorting out for other means of intervention outside the Lord. He led them to destruction. God personally, you see, in many senses, he will say that there is an angel amongst you. He will kill you. Praise God. Syncretism. That is not a disciple. A disciple is an adherent.
And then sometimes people will go do those things, then come to church to give what? Testimony. So they go, they give testimony. They shoot up in church. Oh, praise God. I was waiting for a child, and then after, and now, after some years, the child has come. And you went away to seek interventions. And you think that the child will give you peace in your life. You know that the way we have even said that, that unclean spirits don't give children. Unclean spirits don't give children. We know unclean spirits have no children to give. But look at you. Look at you. Look at you. What inspired that intervention? You open your door to the enemy. That's what you did. You went out of your main door. You went out. You went to the gate. You opened the gate. Open to a robber. A robber. You opened your gate to a robber. He will rob you of everything. Everything. He will even rob you of the things that you legitimately got from God. He will rob you of everything. Satan, he will collect everything. He collects everything.
Mitch. Praise God.
I said, praise God. So look at that. Man is the image of God. Man is the image of God. He will walk through men. Glory to God forevermore. So look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. God is not only using you. You are actually His method. You are actually what? His method. You were designed for Him. So He's not only using you. You are His method. He is fine with it. He is okay with it. Do you get me this morning? He is okay with it. It is His pleasure. It is His desire. It is His will. He rejoices when you are available. Because that is His method. I am God's method. That's it. I'm God's method. I'm God's method. I'm God's method. It's so delightful to learn that He actually pleases. He is pleased when I get involved. You know, sometimes you're doing something and then, you know, you want to get involved, you want to assist somebody, and then discover that the person is just bearing you. After a while, you just get out. When you discover that the person is just bearing you, they're just bearing me. I know you don't have to force it. I'm not forcing myself for you. You know, you just get out. You are displeased because the fellow is just bearing you. No, God is not bearing you. That means you discover that if the person had a better chance, a better opportunity, the person will go for it. No. God is not bearing you. God is not bearing you. We are His methods. With His Spirit in our heart. Hallelujah. His Spirit in our heart. I think there's a song like that that has this lyric. God's Spirit in our heart. Are we together? There's a Spirit in my heart. 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 God's spirit is in my heart. Hallelujah. Sometimes you want to do some things and it feels like there's a war on your inside. Sometimes you feel like you're unwilling. You feel like it. You are really willing, though, but you feel like you're unwilling. Or there's that war. I'm supposed to probably pray or give or go on evangelism or serve or be in the workforce. There's that. You just said, your spirit is in my heart. I don't have a lot of choice. God's spirit is in my heart. There's this song again, songwriter. One of the lyrics is, I forgot it now. How is it together? Why is it sweet in our heart? No, yeah, it is this, you make it easy. Are we together? You make it easy. His spirit in our heart, he makes it easy. Are we together? Because another word for spirit is desire. God's desire is in your heart, written into your heart like your desire. So written that it cannot be separated. So intertwined with you as your own. I have the Spirit of God. 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 You know, sometimes in life you are bored by many things. You are just bored. At those moments, you remind yourself, I've got the Spirit of God. Sometimes you look around and people are scarce. You just say, Lord, your Spirit is in my heart. He keeps me going. Hallelujah. God's Spirit in my heart. Glory! Are we together? Are we together? Sit down. God's Spirit in my heart. God's Spirit in my heart. In and out of season, God's Spirit in my heart. God's Spirit is in my heart. I know I will serve God. You see, I might have a rough terrain. I know I will serve God. I know. Might be wrong, might be this. I know I will serve God. Because in my heart, I want to serve God. How many of you feel that way? Yeah. That is the born again heart. Tap that sister. Are we together? Don't look at her. Amen. In the heart. There's a song that says that down in my heart, are we together? Yeah. You know, I say in my heart, why did he say down again? The songwriter is looking for words. Are we together? The songwriter is looking for words. He says down in my heart. It's not superficial. It's not a cloud. Are we together? There might be darkness in the clouds in this world, but there's no darkness in the sky of my mind. The sky of this world might have darkness on it. If you know what it feels like for the sky to be dark, look at warfare. In wars, when there's terror, war, oh, the skies are black. With smoke and all. So sometimes life might look like that, where the skies are dark, but the sky in my heart is filled with His glory. I have the Spirit of God. 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 Hallelujah. Sit down. I have the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. What we just did now, the unbeliever can never relate. He is locked outside. He doesn't have tickets. Are we together? I have the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible said that. Look at this. The Bible said that when a believer sleeps from this earth, you know, sleeping from this earth is waking up somewhere else. Yeah. So, if you don't know that, so when a believer sleeps, the Bible says the same split second that he sleeps, that's die, that he sleeps from this realm, he opens his eyes into the Savior's arm. He can never be lost. He can't be lost. Are we together? He can never be lost. He opens his eyes. He opens his eyes into the Savior's arm. And let me tell you, no matter how his life was before he slept, he opened his eyes into what? Have you ever had an incident before that a child goes to do something and then, you know, they wanted to beat the child, and then the parents was there. Then the parent grabbed the child and said, "Your child is my child. Let me discipline him myself. Because bad me no more me." It's not a scripture. Are we together? Tell me I wonder which bad. Are we together? Tell me I wonder which bad. So look at this. He wakes up to the what? The Savior's arm. No matter how rough his what? His life was. Someone said, "Hey, what if he was the one that made himself to sleep?" You know what that means, right? So let me use that word. What if he was the one that made himself? See, he wakes up in the what? In the Savior's arm. So having woke up in the Savior's arm, the Savior will now say, Ekabo, come here, follow me. And the Savior doesn't hold him and hand him over to Satan. No. Say, deliver him to Satan. No, you have missed the text. The Savior disciplines him himself. But he wakes up in the hands of the Savior. And when the person in whose hands you wake up is called Savior, then you know what his office is. If that is office, Savior, be at peace. Are we together, church? So look at that. Man is the image of God. God will use man. So when he says they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover, it means the laying on of hands is God's method of healing the sick, not Holy Communion. Now, the fact that the sick God healed in that other way, are we together? It doesn't mean that God has endorsed. Yes, in fact, I'm going there. Thank you. You are before me. You are steps ahead of me. It doesn't mean that God has is not sabotaged. No, not debated. It doesn't mean God has jettisoned his methods. So that's not the word I still want to use. Abandon, no. Huh? Contradict, no. We have a lot of linguists. I'm not getting it. Are we together? No, it doesn't mean that. And the fact that it worked with the Holy Communion and all that does not mean that it's also God's plan. You see, God can be with you and intervene, and that's not what you want. It's not like a man that will say, The demon, I don't want that. I'll punish you.
No.
So even after he has intervened, he still expects you to look into his word. Israel had the book of Deuteronomy. Israel. They had the Ten Commandments. They had the Ten Commandments. Yet in the midst of them, they had God's interventions, and yet they perished. God was in the midst of them and they perished. And yet they were miraculous acts. You can see, it looks contradictory. It was because the things they were doing, God didn't endorse it. But there will be signs that God is around. So even when we are seeing God's interventions, God expects us to look into his word to know what he wants. I'm sure what I'm saying is not above our heads this morning. He wants you to look in. You have his presence. He wants you to look into his word. That is why the word and the spirit flow together. You have the spirit. He wants you to look at the word. Some people feel that since we have the spirit, whatever is happening is already God's intention. No! Since we have the spirit, we have the things of the spirit happening around us. That means whatever we do is the way it is. That's what God wants. No, told you. The spirit is his presence. He wants you to look into the word so that what his spirit is doing can be prolonged. The word and the spirit. That's where we have prayer and what? Teaching. Because the move of the spirit responds to prayer. Anybody who prays, whether they know the word or not, the spirit will what? You will see the move of the spirit. You get it? When there's prayer, you see movements of the power of God. But it doesn't mean that what is happening is what God wants. That God endorses everything. No. We now have to look into what? The word of God. To see what are his methods. Praise God for helping more. So man is his image. Man is his image. So because man is his image, he will not give things to people individually. He will not talk to people individually. He will use man to talk to them. That is the foundation for Christianity. And when we say man is God's image, now you know, does that include unbelievers? Yes. Even though unbelievers are not functioning in that image. So the Christian meeting becomes unique because it's a meeting of those who are what? Functioning in his image. Are you getting the light? Thank you. So when we say Christian meetings, it is unique. So God will use man. Yes! But God will use what? Christians more. Do you see that? Because they're already functioning. They already have knowledge. In fact, the unbeliever might not even know that he's the image of God, talk less of functioning in it. But the believer already knows. The believer has understood the various expressions of that image in giving, in the gifts of the Spirit, in love work. The believer is taught. That is the disciple. So when we have Christian meetings, it's the gathering of disciples. It is not the same as any other kind of meeting. It is a unique meeting. So before I close, God will not do it. He will not give things to you directly. Individually or alone, in isolation. He will not teach you his word in isolation. That's why, you see, some people say, the Holy Ghost told me, the Holy Ghost taught me. I know one guy like that. All of his life is the Holy Ghost that has taught him the Bible. But everything he knows from the Bible, even him can't practice it. Nobody can practice what he knows from the Bible. He has all of these esoteric revelations or revelations, you know, from everywhere. He is so beclouded. The Holy Ghost taught me. The Holy Ghost taught me. Which Holy Ghost taught you? Which Holy Ghost taught you? All those people that keep shouting, the Holy Ghost taught me, the Holy Ghost has been teaching me, go and check their teaching notes. Go and check their word notes. Their notes, their jottings, that the Holy Ghost teach them. Nothing useful. Nothing useful. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't teach people personally what he has already given to us in the scriptures. The Spirit of God can guide you. Are we together? In how what has been taught to you should be carried out in your life. But it's not the Holy Ghost that comes to explain the Bible to you. Hey! Come off it. Which Holy Ghost? That is why he gave teachers. The Holy Ghost gave teachers. Do you get it? So God will not do it. He will not do it. Jesus Christ will not go to Paul and say, bring your head. Oh, yeah, Shazza. Are we together? Are we together? Look at this. When he came in the form of a man, he functioned that way. He went to a man, he took saliva and mud, and he anointed his eyes. He smeared the man's eyes, and the eyes what? Opened. He did it as a minister of the gospel. The moment he resumed the throne of God, sat back in divinity and deity, he now walks through men again. So he will not come to put eyes. He himself is the one that said, they shall lay hands on the sick. And when we lay hands on the sick, he is the one walking. So he will walk through men. He will heal through men. He will cast out devils through men. Have you heard people say things like, all of this, religion is calm. Religion is calm. In Nigeria, they say, just praying. The nation is not changing, you see. When people talk like that, he said, some say, even Saudi Arabia or Dubai, they are not praying as much and everything is working. You are daft when you speak like that. It shows your level of spiritual illiteracy. First of all, there is no connection between prayer and economy. So saying that if we are holding prayer meetings and doing so much crusade is why the economy is not working. It shows you are a daft person. There is no link. There is no link between prayer and a working economy. There is no link. You are a political scientist. You know what I'm talking about. There is no link. There is no link. So, prayer meetings, church programs is not the reason. Does it not now shock you that those same nations where economy is working is where God is no more known? Go to the United Kingdom, go to the US, and see all sorts of things that are there. If care is not taken, if you travel there, that is the end of Christianity in your life. I'm not even joking at all. If care is not taken, don't forget that clause. If you travel down there, that is the end of Christianity in your life. No matter how strong you are, if you like, plant 6,000 churches, you are gone. It means traveling down there must be preceded with a strong plan on your spiritual, because the environment there is, I have tons and tons of friends there. Sometimes even some folks that were doing work and then serving God together, you go, that's I will kill us here. This. Are you the one talking like this? Have you forgotten? That is gone. Someone that used to be a very strong Christian. So that means you are not strong enough. Are we together, church? It is those same environments, those same communities, that Christianity is almost in extinction. Because prayer instills the knowledge of God. The economy will work through effort, knowledge, and all the things that is happening. The economy will work. Leave the prayer button on. You get it? They are doing two different things. You see, all of this church is just prayer. It's just prayer. It's just, leave it alone. Don't speak light of. See, don't, because you want to establish a truth, kill another truth. You will suffer it. You don't step on the toes of a truth because you want to establish a particular truth. What you want to say, if you cannot say it without berating and undermining the place of prayer, keep quiet. That means you have not known how to talk. Then come and repeat it when you can say it without what? Ruining the passion of people who pray. And oftentimes, people who talk like that don't have prayer lives themselves. They don't have prayer lives. Because if you have a prayer life, you will know what prayer is doing. You will not link it with economy and money. What concerns prayer with economy? What concerns prayer with economy? Prayer will eat the preaching of the gospel, which directly will come back and affect the world. Keep praying. God uses what? Man. Is that clear, church? He will heal the sick through men. So in Christian meetings, I must be ready, look at me, to receive from God, right? Right? But actually to receive from what? From who? Brother? From who? From men. Are we together? So when I say, oh, I'm here to receive, and we're saying, maybe as we're praying towards camp meeting, or we're praying towards the service, or in the prayer session in the morning on Sunday, we're praying, oh, we'll receive, oh, I'm here to receive all that, all the things that the Spirit of God has for me. You are going to receive from who? A man or men. That's the truth. God ministers his things through us, man. So if I have hurt at people, will I be able to receive? If I dishonor people, will I be able to receive? I will not be able to receive. Does God want to give me? Am I also in need? Yes. But will I receive? I will not receive. So I must honor men. Receiving from God is receiving from the men that he has given those things to. Supernatural things. Supernatural things. On Thursday, I'm going to show you how men minister the supernatural things. Minister the supernatural things. They minister it. Supernatural things. Supernatural things. Supernatural things. Supernatural things are ministered through men. Look at this. He tells them to come together in one place. Why? Because he will use men to give certain things towards to others. So come together. Come together. Because I will minister something to God, and that thing will be through one or more of you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. So he will use man to minister his things to other men. So come together. You can't be on live stream. Come together. So part of my intelligence is to know how God operates, how that he uses meetings. See, I'm intelligent. So So don't forget, we have said some time ago that humanity functions in its community, right? Not association. Genesis 1:26 again, it says, male and female created them. Don't forget, he says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply. He says, replenish the earth, subdue it. Are we together? And we said, that is a corporate mandate. It's a corporate mandate, not individual. So, it's a corporate mandate. Are we together? We will do it together. So, and we also said that our relationship with God is a triad. There is God, there is me, there is what? Others. Is a triad. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, loving God is loving others. And serving God is serving others. So I cannot know God and not see others correctly. I cannot serve God without serving others. Are we together, church? So it means that God also instituted, so meetings are built on relationships. Meetings are built on relationships. Relationships. God instituted meetings because he uses man for man. So the unique meetings is what we now call the Christian meeting. Because in the Christian meeting, all are aware. Did you see that? And all are enabled. Are we together? So in the Christian meeting, all are enabled. They have the Spirit. All are aware. They are being taught. Right? All are intelligent. They know how to minister. Unlike other kind of meetings. Meetings in an organization. Meetings in our workplace. Academic meetings. Convocation in the meeting. Matriculation in school is a meeting. Business meeting. Landlordization is a meeting. There is a separate kind of meeting that is unique. The Christian meeting. In that meeting, all of them are already functioning in the image of God. They are taught, they are intelligent, they are aware, and they are willing. They are taught, they are intelligent, they are aware, and they are willing. That is a Christian meeting. Are you getting something this morning? Hallelujah. So, we said already that God instituted relationships. It's on that basis that we hold meetings. He will use relationships. It is their relationships. It is their relationships. God instituted relationships. God instituted father relationships, right? Mother relationships, instituted them. God instituted brother relationship. God was one who instituted a relationship called sister. God instituted them. Today we have what we call nephew, right? It's God's institution. Because look at this. You know, God could have brought all of us into the earth at the same time. Everybody. Like these guys usually say that there's one guy among them that was very drunk, and then one person has sent him to the earth and started molding, and then he moved some people's nose, and then he moved some people's ears, and then it's just nonsense. God didn't do it that way. You know what I'm talking about, right? I think this is Yoruba's history of how God created man. He said someone came from ladder. They didn't know that we are soon going to have a jet going to the until we sent jet, and we didn't see anything of this. Yeah. Where did he bring the ladder from? They even said it was a rope it came from with a fowl. Do you actually think we are dull? And it came with a fowl. Then the fowl was doing like this all over the earth, in the nations of the earth. He said he also brought sand. So just put the sand. So, you know, they say it's foul. Yeah. And we too were like, wow. Because we were very dull then. But later it's called that. He said, that's the reason why we have different faces. And then, he said he was drunk. Where did he get the deer? He brought it from heaven. That means God has palm trees. Are we together? Maybe he drinks too. Are we together? So look at it. God didn't bring all of us into the earth at the same time. Do you think it's difficult for him to do? No. But he did not. So he created the relationships we have today. He created the relationships. It is method. Because he didn't bring all of us. Maybe if he had brought all of us, there will not be honor now. Where will it be honor? You get Muriel that was soccer now. Or let's say he has created all of us. He just came and said, all of you, take it! And then all of us just, where are we? Where are we? Zombie. There will not be honor. I just look at them and say, you that did not immediately receive life. I woke up before you now. What? Down it down there. God is holding on to your granddad. Are we together? No. God created the relationship. So he made you to be father. Abi? So what we call father is God's institution. He created the relationship by his wisdom. There is now wife. If God had done it that way, or God had made all of us men. Are we together? Did you observe that? We don't even know. Everything will just be rough. Abi? That means there's order in God's creation, even if we don't see it yet. There's order. Everything will just be rough. Imagine your wife and your mom and her mom at the same age. How? Your husband and his dad and his granddad the same age. How? Are we together? Everything will just be rough. So order. Someone say order. So God created that order in it. That means pastor or my pastor is God's creation. That relationship that we have one another is God's creation. Because we are going to need it. So he made some people to come first and plant things in place. Right? Then they meet together, agree. Then they bring another child into the world. And they teach that one wisdom and counsel to interact on the earth and stay long and not be in conflict. You see, that is wisdom. God uses relationships. So the father and the mother will now train each other. Don't say this. When you are dealing with people, learn to do this. Don't lie to a fellow person. It will cause this person. Don't do this. You might lose trust. When nobody trusts you, your life might be difficult. So somebody is teaching you that. And that is the wisdom of God. That means anytime I get into a place and I meet somebody who has been there and have experience, that person is part of God's gift to me. That sequential arrival at things that gives one knowledge and wisdom that another who is just coming will need is God's wisdom. That's why you must respect your elders. And that respect to elders is in all scenarios. Are we together, church? I want to close. So, amen. God created gender. If he created gender, if God was one that created gender, that means what we call wife, mother, sister. Are we together? It's God's creation. That thing that we call sister, that is my sister, my mother. That thing we call mother-in-law is God's what? Creation. That relationship is God's creation. Is God's creation. Auntie, that is God's creation. Because if there was no gender, there won't be auntie. Are we together? There won't be auntie. Different from uncle. So that thing called uncle, that thing called auntie is God's creation. It shows you how God used this relationship. He works with it. He created it. He works with it. And he wants you and I to honor it. Are we together, church? So the relationship is the creation of God for his plans and pleasure. Relationships. As those relationships now function in his plans and purposes, particularly salvation and the ministry of the Spirit, God's will on the earth is being done. Because you also notice that there are communities where there are people and there are relationships, but they are not born again, like Islam communities or Islam-dominated communities. God's will is not being done there. That means, yes, God created relationships, but God created those relationships to function in a particular way. So the new birth, salvation, the Spirit of God, brings us into functioning in God's plans and purposes. So I put this in my note. I said, the presence of relationships serves God's purpose on the earth. He will walk with men, not in isolation. Are we together? Are we together? He will walk with men. You know, and that's why, by the time you see in Genesis, for example, when God brought out Genesis chapter 2, you know, many times we misquote that text. We misquote the text. When God brought the woman to the man, what did she say? What did she say? What was the thing she said? She said, this is the word. Notice that when Adam saw Eve, are we together? The first thing he saw was not his wife. That wasn't the first thing he saw in her. When he saw the woman, the first recognition he had was not, this is my wife. No. It wasn't. Yet, I know people say, but he said, this is the bone of my bone. Go and check the Old Testament book. Set for the word, bones of my bones, or flesh. It has nothing to do with marriage. It has nothing to do with marriage. It has nothing to do with marriage. So when Adam saw Eve, the first recognition he had was not a wife. No. No. He appreciated the wife because of the gender. Are we together? Of the gender. Are we together? Are we together? He appreciated the wife because of the gender in man. The gender in man. But there's what he saw immediately after he saw the woman. There's that recognition. He said, look at that text. Look at that text. We'll close there. Look at that text. He said, I know we are eager to look at the text. Look at it. God bless you. Genesis 2. It says, and the rib, verse 22, which God had taken from man, made you what? A woman, and brought her unto who? The man. Can we take 23 together? I want to go. Did you see that? She shall be called what? Woman, because she is man's wife. No. So look at that. He says, this is now bone of my what? Of my bones, and what? Flesh of my flesh. Are we together? Look at Genesis 29. Quickly. Genesis 29. In Genesis 29, look at verse 13. Look at 13. If you are there, say amen. So let's read together loudly. Want to go? And it came to pass when Laban had the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. Look at 14, everyone go. Did you see that? Now, was this a husband and wife relationship? No. Did you read it? Was that a husband and wife relationship? No. This was Laban. And he said to Jacob, he says, you are what? The bone of my bone. You are my flesh. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 verse 30. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We're closing. Ephesians 5 verse 30. Ephesians 5 and 30. Are you there? Let's be together. I want to go. We are members of his what? Of his body, of his flesh and of what? Is that a marital relationship? No. Look at 2 Samuel quickly. Chapter 5. Samuel Ikeji. Orikaru. Ese Kimi Ati Ikeji. 2 Samuel 5. Are you learning something? You learning something? You learning something? You learning something? Are you learning something? You learning something? You learning something? You learning something? Are you learning something? You learning something? Wait, let's say we should go again. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. 1, 2, go. All the what? All the what? To David, unto, and speak unto him, saying, behold, we are what? Thy bone and thy. Are they saying you should marry them? Yeah? Are they saying you should marry them? So, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, is it a marital statement? No. And that was what the first statement that Adam saw and said to who? Eve. Are we together? So, the very first thing was not marriage. Are we together? Look at that Genesis text again. The very first thing was not marriage. That was why the next text now says, therefore, for this cause. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means marriage is an afterthought. Hey! That means marriage is what? An afterthought. It's an afterthought. That's why, if you see a guy that any lady that comes around you, immediately a lady comes around you, you immediately develop a feeling or you want to get into a relationship with the lady, there is a problem in your life. You have a problem that can be fixed, okay? But that's the good news. I'm not a messenger of bad news. That can be fixed. But there's a problem. The same thing goes to the lady. Any guy that comes, lady, I'm married, you have a problem. So, marital relationships are built on the first. You see that? You see that? He says, for this cause shall what? Is that what he says? Shall a man, Genesis 2, verse what? 24. What is 23 again? This is now what? Bones of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man. Are we together? So verse 24. And don't forget, Moses is summarizing. Moses is making statements that will become doctrines. So he makes statements. Moses makes statements that are actually large explanations. Large explanation is summarized into one verse. So 23, when he says the bone of my bone, it simply means we are related. It simply means, listen to this, we are compatible. We are compatible with one another. Now, Adam is a prophet, a priest. Adam is a priest, a king. So when he saw the woman, he said, in all the creation, this one, we are compatible. Marriage will stem out of that compatibility. But there is a background. We are compatible. We will function together. Because this is humanity. It isn't that we will function together because this is woman. We will function together because this is what? Man. Are we? This is humanity. So humanity is compatible. The genders might now differ. Are we together? And based on the genders, marital relationships can now come in. Are we together? But look at this. The very first thing he saw about the woman is that this one and me will function together in all of God's creation. So God will use man for man. the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, simply implies we are compatible. Is it clear? So humans are compatible with one another. So when God wants to walk among humans, humans are compatible. Nobody can influence a man like another man. Have you ever had a tiger talk and you started feeling bad? Are we together? A rat was criticizing you and you were crying. Which we immediately know that you need an injection. Are we together? Are we together? Say, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Oh, I can't take it again. Oh God, I can't take it again. This is too much. I'm not the only one in tank. What happened? I saw some fouls. Imagine pastor at 5 a.m. It's not even daybreak. It is me. It's called Kab Abba. But human beings will start discussing you and you start feeling what? Bad. In fact, look at this. The things that tend to affect you even come to you as human thoughts. It comes to you as a human communicating. Did you see that? Are we together? So, humans affect humans more than any other thing. That's why when you are falling into a situation, maybe you are stranded in a place whatever, sometimes all you are just looking for is another what? Human being. That happens to you before. You drive somewhere and then the car breaks down. You are just looking. I don't feel safe until I've seen another what? Human. He must be smiling too. And not with a gun and a bandit. Sorry, something bandit dead. Are we there? Because that one will be human being, but it's not functioning in the image of God. Are we together? So means I will function. Are we together? So, sorry, I just took a joke out of that. It's fine. It's not funny though. But look at this. Humans affect humans most. The things that affect you today are the things that people say, have written, or have told others about you. Are we together? Humans. So when God was going to affect human beings in a way that would be unprecedented, he became a what? A man. So amongst men, there can be a flow of the things of God. So God uses man. Don't say, what about the donkey? That God said, what about the donkey? That is not normal. Did you see that? What about angel? What about angel? That is not normal. So the angel told Cornelius, call for Peter. He will preach to you. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't angel just pick Mary off to Egypt? He had to tell Jacob, get up, take your wife. That means Jacob will meet people, at least the angel might not meet the angel, but he will meet the mother and the child on the road if the angel were the one leading them. But people will meet Joseph on the road as a man. Joseph will know how to have conversations that will lead the path for her and her child out of the city. Are we together? So when you see a community that says that we are feminists, we don't need men, we don't need husbands, you are not normal. You're not normal. You're not normal. It is not God's word. Plan. God, you see, if God says husband, if the epistle says husband loves your wife, the fact that the Bible mentions husband means God recognized that relationship called husband. The same with wife. He recognizes it. That means he will use it. That means there are things he will do. He will not use pastor. He will use husbands. You get? There are things he will do. He will not use wife. He will use husbands. There are things he will do. He will not use uncle. He will use auntie. Maybe because the resource is in the midst of a people where there are women. He will use auntie. Are we together? Maybe a particular resource you need is in a place where they need a man's voice and whatever, he will use uncle. He will use all of those relationships. He created them. He created them. Are we together? Are we together? So, the Christian meeting now is a unique one. It's a unique set of relationships. A unique one. So it says, the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh, is not a statement of marriage. It simply means we are compatible with one another. In the plan of God, or for the plan of God, we are compatible. When it comes to God's plan, we are compatible. Stay for me, let me close here. So marriage will be built on that. Marriage will be built on that compatibility. Are we together? Are we together? We built on that compatibility. That is why in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave father and his mother. So now, you observe that verse 24 is Moses' statement. Right? Thank you. So verse 24 is Moses' statement. A man leave father and mother. That is Moses' statement. So Moses is building a marital relationship on what Adam had said, that we are what? Compatible. So Moses is saying, since Adam said the man and the woman is compatible, then Moses is saying they can marry. Did you see that? So they can marry because they are what? Compatible. Now, oh, I identify as a cat, I identify as a gorilla. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. Are we together? Are we together? See, I'm not a cat. Imagine a full grown human being with beard. A full grown human being with beard and hair on the chest. Then you wake up one very silly morning. Or is it your brain that is silly? They say, I'm not a human being again. I don't know. Then you see a mew mew. And said, this is the bone of my bone. And the flesh of my flesh. Even the cat is looking at it. No, you are not. The cat is afraid that you might abduct it. The cat is telling you, this is not according to plan. This is not according to plan. You are non-compatible. That's why when the cat sees a fellow cat, he says, this is the bone of my bone. The cat is more intelligent than you. With more manners. Are we together? Say, I look around me. I see men and women. And I see that we are compatible. We are compatible. We are compatible. When things are lost, humans help you to find it. Are we together? When you seem to be in trouble, humans help you to come out of those troubles. When life seems challenging, humans speak words. Some say, dogs are more loyal than humans. Come off that nonsense. Come off that nonsense. There's nobody that you can rely on. Where are you that you can't find somebody to rely on? We must ask, where are you? What are you doing there? Because there are reliable people everywhere. Like in this church, we have a lot of reliable people. A lot. And God walks through every one of us here. Are we together? I'm so excited that we have a lot of committed, reliable people in church. People who in their marriages, they are committed. They are reliable. We have reliable husbands in church that their wives can rely on them. We have reliable wives that their husbands can rely on them. Wherever they are, there is no distrust. There is that reliance. I know that what that fellow is doing, where he is or where she is in my interest. I know. Parents, kids, reliable. Parents, reliable. Are we together? Reliable friends. We have employees in church that are reliable.
employers of the organizations can rely on them. We have employers here in the church that their employees can rely on them. So the church is a unique set of people. It's an assembly you want to be in. As I said when I started, a disciple is someone in the churches. In the churches. So Christian meetings is a meeting of disciples. People will get saved in meetings. It means people will develop in the faith in meetings. So Christian meetings are unique. They are unique because everyone here listening to me is unique. We have the Spirit of God in our heart. We are taught, are being taught God's word. We are learning and we are growing in awareness. We are intelligent. We are willing to bless and be blessed by the things of the Spirit of God. So when we come together, it is for the better and not for the worse. When we come together, it is to be much more strengthened and not to be weakened. When we come together, it is to become much more wiser in the things of God. It is to see God and the things of God unclothed with unveiled eyes, to see, to behold with clear eyes, sight unperturbed, undisturbed in the heart, willing and fully able to participate, to give the things of God and to receive. In such a meeting, we have the ministry of the songs, where God's word comes to us with songs and melodies and touches our heart. There is no matter how sonorous the voice of a bird is, it is not like the voice of the music team. Are we together? Or it's not like the voice of a man. I mean a human. No matter how exhilarating, no matter how exciting or melodious the voice of humans are, it is not like the voice of men singing the word of God. Hallelujah. So the height of music is in the church of God. That's the height of music. Someone was telling me some days ago, someone was asking either in a meeting and I was, he says, you know, he's the pastor of an assembly. So he was asking somebody, you know, he was asking another person who was presiding over the meeting. And then he said, I'm a pastor. I don't know. I sing. I get involved in songs. Right? I said, I'm a pastor. I get involved in songs. I don't know if I can put out my voice there in the secular world also. I mean, I sing, I mean, in the secular world. And then in my heart, I said, why not? Then the person who was presiding over the meeting then said, sure, you can sing. You can sing. Now, you will know what to sing in the world. I mean, you didn't use the name of Jesus in that song. You are not mentioning the Bible. You are not mentioning the Holy Ghost. They might not even know a Christian is the one singing. But you are going to sing something that is different from what the world, are we together, would have sung. Again, it still boils down to the fact that the height of singing is the music ministry in the churches of God. When those individuals, anyone now gets to sing something secular, it still has you. You see that change. You see that difference. You see that difference. I've been into some songs before and secular songs, and I'm like, who sang this song? Only to go discover that the person who sang the song was a major person in a particular church music ministry. Not a worldly song per se. Not a worldly song. I mean, just something out there, natural. Those kind of songs that tears up business, that tears up morals. Are we together? Those kind of songs that they tear up morals. They get you, you know, just keep you busy, get you in the good mood and mind, and then nothing worldly, not use of vulgar languages and words. But wow, something about this friend. I discovered that as a member of a music team in one of the churches I kind of respect. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You could see that flavor there. Like, this guy, is there something coming forth? Are we together? The height of teaching and exhortation and counsel is the word of God blessing. So we trust God. that all that we have been discussing and saying in the past couple of weeks, camp meeting will be all to us. It will be all to us. We will find wisdom. We will find grace. We will find the stirring up of the things of God. So we are compatible, right? That means this person can minister to me. Right? Right? I can also minister. I'm compatible. So when God is using me, He's not managing me. No. I'm His method. I just give Him praise this morning. I'm His method. Yeah.